Listen, all I needed is for you to do this Brick Mansions review with us, JC.
Why? Am I going to see that stupid movie?
You're going to see this stupid movie. You signed the contract.
I signed a contract?
Okay, you didn't actually sign the contract, but you should have signed a contract. It was a handshake deal, and you know what? This is what men do. You man up, and you go see the movie.
Never!
Evil film editor, director, and writer in order to prove that this movie was worth making at all.
I don't think they did it. I don't think they have proven why this movie deserves to be remade 10 years later.
You're right. In that sense, this is a very existential film.
Yes. It has no reason to exist.
It must be because parkour is still cool.
Wait, parkour.
Is
it?
Parkour.
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 It's still cool, isn't it?
Well, it's fun to say.
I mean, it's cool if it's not, you know, edited all to shit.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is Highly Suspect Reviews with the Unusual Suspects. I am Chris Cox.
JC DeLeon.
Brian.
William DeLeon.
I like it.
Little known fact.
And we are going to talk about the American remake of District 13, now called Brick Mansions, that as near as I can tell is being released released in theaters only because Paul Walker died and this was his last film.
Yeah, we really need to discuss the elephant in the room, and that is that this movie is coming out just past the death of parkour, but despite that, this movie drives a nail right through that coffin.
You know, I think parkour is, there's nothing wrong with parkour. There's too little of it in this movie to really call it a parkour.
It's more like
film.
Parpoor, because they don't shoot it very well.
My God, whoever the editor was on this thing was just like, you know what, I'm going to shoot this as if my grandmother was trying to look like an action star. I'm just going to cut every eighth of a second.
The thing about parkour that makes it cool to watch is that by its very essence, it's about fluid, uninterrupted motion.
Yeah.
That is the whole point of parkour, is that you get from point A to point B without slowing down, without stopping, without anything, you know, providing any resistance. And in this movie, the resistance is just the editor chopping everything up so much to the point that they would do insert shots in the middle of him, like, you know, running across a wall. They would just cut to a factory for no reason and then back. And I was like, what the? Are you Tyler Durden? Knock that shit off.
You know, and we've seen this actor, the same guy who was in the original District 13, David Bell. We've seen him actually do this stuff. We know he can do it. He's one of the founders of parkour, for God's sakes. He coined the term. So why do you need to make it look like you just edited some other guy, you know, to look like he could do it? But you know what? Let's just talk for a minute what this is actually about. Dystopian Detroit, less realistic than the dystopian Detroit from even the RoboCop remake.
Yeah. Yeah. And yet OCP is still somehow in charge.
Big
no,
walls.
His name is RZA.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Big walls built up around it. And
it's pronounced RZA.
There's David Bell plays Lino, he's a good guy. In the beginning, we see him tearing up a bunch of heroin and dumping it into the tub before the big group of evil black guys can get there. Let's face it. That's what's happening in this movie. And grab it away from him. But he gets away because he's, you know, this parkour badass. He's slippery.
Yeah.
He gets away. But then they go and grab his girlfriend, who is kind of a badass in her own right for a girl.
Who apparently they've had a relationship before, although it's not really important how or why or anything like that.
You know what? You're like,
that's his girlfriend. Okay.
You don't even have to look that deeply into this to find reasons to be.
Who these people are is looking too deeply?
Yes.
Compared to all the other problems of this movie? Yes, it is.
I guess you're right.
But the real problems start, like, that's his problem. He gets tricked. He gets sent off to jail because the police force are corrupt. Then Paul Walker plays a badass cop on the other side of the wall who's sent in there to retrieve a neutron bomb that's in the city that the evil villain played by the RZA. See that? I stopped calling him the RZA. I am 1% less white now.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Let's not get carried away.
Okay, 1% less not black.
Did you catch the cream reference
oh, yeah.
In the movie? that made me grimace. Like, I understand that you're the RZA. I understand that you're part of Wu-Tang and Cash Rules Everything Around Me is one of your tracks. But for the love of God, you did not earn the right to drop that quote in this
now,
movie.
Now, look, they thought about cutting it out, but then they realized that Wu-Tang Clan ain't nothing to fuck with. So they just left
that
it in.
They didn't edit out.
It's as distracting as in Ride Along when Ice Cube says today was a good day and then practically like mugs for the camera. It's just like, remember how cool I used to be?
And that's exactly what I said on that review is you have not earned the right to bring up your own awesome past.
Okay. There's a part where they say that RZA rules brick mansions with an iron fist. Yeah. And I had to wonder if that was actually a conscious reference to the man with the iron fist.
I wondered the same thing too, but I was like, there's no way the writer is that smart.
I just realized I just lost that 1% that I got by not knowing any of these songs that you guys are referencing.
I was going to open this review with a paraphrased version of Tupac's Thug's Mansion, and then I realized I would just lose you completely.
That's true. I don't even know who's Tupac. I'm kidding. I know
he's
that
mind.
Because he got killed by probably a white guy, let's face it.
I mean,
more sure.
That's what the conspiracy pages say.
Well, the conspiracy there is he's not dead, so according to them.
That's, yeah. Well, that's the other
But conspiracy. Paul Walker is back to this movie.
he Segue. Gets thrown into, like you need to go in there and pretend you're not a cop, which lasts for about 10 seconds with David Bell. Is like, look, all right, what am I, an idiot? You're Paul Walker. Of course you're a cop. And they end up reluctantly teaming up to fight and bring down the RZA and save the city. But maybe everything is not as it appears.
Oh. Yeah. Like, maybe you thought this movie would be decent, but everything is not as it appears.
Yeah, I remember when Luc Besson seemed like he was the guy who was going to, like, save action movies and bring something new to it. Like, he's like, wow, Luc Besson, I can hardly wait to see everything he does. And nowadays, I'm like, wow, Luc Besson, I wish they'd stop letting him release his films in America.
He's had this, like, renewed credibility with Taken, which he only produced and co-wrote.
Sure.
And yet everything since then has failed to capitalize on that, where it's like, you think of this, you think of 3 Days to Kill recently, Columbiana, where it's just, like, all these really half-hearted retreads that he didn't direct. And even when he directs something, it ends up being a piece of shit like The Family.
And he doesn't even have the excuse here of being hands-off. I mean, one of the biggest problems with this movie is its laughably awful script.
Which is still credited to him.
Still credited to him.
The part is like they went back after the fact with editing and tried to make it seem like, oh, come on, this is just for shits and grins. I mean, even the point of having one point where his big guy gets hit on the head and they edited in the sound of tweeting birds. Yeah. And I was like, are you guys kidding me right now?
That was awful.
It was like, nothing will save this movie. We've got to make it look like we meant for it to be this terrible.
But I don't know about you guys, but for me, it was on this sliding scale where for the first hour or so, I'm like, all right, everyone has a cornball line. But there's plenty of action. They're keeping it moving. Compared to the original, they threw in a lot of car chases. Like, they felt like that was the one thing they could add on. So on the sets of the Death Race remake, they shot a bunch of car chases. Yeah. But then it's like this gradual thing where it's like the more it deviates from the original, the more egregiously stupid it becomes. Where
right.
It's just kind of like, we need to make this a 1 versus 99 percenter film. And we need to have all these people live who didn't live before so that everyone can have a happy fucky ending.
Yeah, despite the fact that the movie at its heart is already accomplishing that.
Yeah.
So to make it an after school special by the end of it is just ridiculous. And I have a theory about those car chases. I think it's because they took one look at Paul Walker the first day on set and went, oh, you actually can't do any of the martial arts.
Yeah.
Let's just pad it out with car chases. We won't shoot well either.
Let's not forget they also were like, oh, it's that guy known for Fast and the Furious movies. Let's put him in a car.
On the flip side, it's very unfortunate that like his next to last film features him crashing a vehicle 3 times.
Yeah, every time he did, like, I'm like, stop crashing cars.
It would be egregious in any movie if he were still alive, and now it's just kind of like, God damn it.
They should have CG'd the cars out and made it where it was just big piles of mushrooms and unicorns. I think it would have been much less offensive.
Yeah.
And they give him this backstory of vengeance that wasn't in the original, because it used to be enough that it's like, oh, here's a ticking time bomb. Like, the original's 84 minutes, just like, let's go in, beat up a bunch of gang members, and save the day. And now it's kind of like, no, I need to find out what really happened to my father, and I need to know what's really going on here. And it's just like, I don't really care.
They're both very silly films, but the first one works by, you're right, by being more taut and direct and knowing how to film fight scenes.
Yes.
Which is what you're going to see it for, fight scenes and parkour. This one, it's so padded out and it's just, the script is just the worst I've come across. I mean, it's almost like the guys who did like parodies of action movies wrote this film.
Well, it's the same thing I had to wonder with The Family is like, how much can it be chalked up to being translated back and forth between French and English, and if something's lost in translation? But they really double down. They double down on the fact that, like, everyone has to either explain something obvious that's happening or have some sort of wisecrack. Some sort of PG-13 appropriate wisecrack. Yeah. And they're usually pretty lame.
Yeah. No, I was just going to echo Goss's point about the script. Like, the writer, you get the sense they tried to put this really complex backstory with Paul Walker's character, and the writer is just like, eh, here's an explanation. We don't really care. And it's just kind of, yeah, it's just a weak part of the script.
Well, and not only that, but they missed the point of the first one. The first one's story is simple because it's 85% escape from New York and 15% parkour. Yeah. That's the whole script of the first movie. It doesn't try to be anything better than that.
Yeah.
And it works because it's a decent enough concept on its own, and then it's just, it's great martial arts sequences from that point.
And when we saw it, we had never seen parkour before.
Yeah, it was the first time I didn't even know what the hell it was. I was just like, that guy can jump off stuff.
Well, even with the first movie, like, you don't get the sense that the first movie is about any one person. And in this movie, any change that's different from the original is made to flesh out Paul Walker's character more. And it's like, the movie's not about him. The original wasn't anyway.
And what's really frustrating about the action, as we've, I feel like, really harped on, is the fact that Camille Delamar, who's directed this, I think it's her first feature, and I assume it's a woman, has edited a lot of Luc Besson's movies of late, and so you'd think that an editor would have the determination to look at her own film and be like, we can't see what the fuck is going on, let's settle down here.
Well, that's the thing, like, as bad as everything else is, the unforgivable thing really is the editing here. It's a mess.
And even more egregiously, they slow down and they have these, like, both these sound effects that are the, like, this weird, like, sonic echo stuff, like when the Minority Report guns would go off.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is that you have a lot of stuff flying at you, because apparently this was shot for or meant to be 3D at some point.
Yeah.
And you could, like, argue that it's like, oh, it gives it kind of like this comic booky flair, but then after a while, it's just like, I'm sick of seeing CGI shit fly at my face.
It was a bad sign when the opening Relativity logo had an extra spinning galaxy, and I was like, why is there one in the foreground and one in the... Oh, they wanted this to be in 3D, didn't they?
Yeah,
those fuckers.
Edited by two people, which is never a good sign. And one of them did Hitman, Transporter 3.
Ugh.
Like, yeah, I remember saying the exact same things about the editing in those movies, except this is actually even worse. Because at least in... Like, all right, so we admit, Jason Statham, he's a badass, he's good at playing a badass. I don't know how skilled he actually is at doing martial arts and stuff, but I know this guy is.
Yeah.
Couldn't
yeah.
tell to watch this movie. Yeah.
You have one thing to serve, and that's this guy's natural talents.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't get it. And what, Camille Delamar, you said this is the first film she actually directed? Yeah, she's
done shorts,
edited
but, yeah.
on all the worst Luc Besson films that have come out in the last 10 years.
Yep.
So I think that should... And she's directing Transporter 4, so...
Oh, boy.
That's
well,
going to be awesome.
I'm actually glad to know that, because I just saved myself a few bucks by not seeing Transporter 4.
You know you're
oh,
going.
Please.
Nope. Not seeing it.
You're
nope.
totally going.
Nope.
We're going together.
What if not they called happening. It Transparkour 4?
It probably still wouldn't have a lot of parkour in it.
Transporter? Can they do that? That's probably what it's going to be called.
Legal.
Oh my god, please don't let that.
That is what it's going to be called. Why did you do that?
That's insult to injury right there.
Just like Transformers coming out this summer.
Oh, are they actually changing the title?
No,
nah,
I don't fucking know. I don't care.
They probably can't. The brand is too strong.
Look, all I care about is the joke. I don't actually care if it's true or not. I don't know if you guys have not gone on to this, but...
Yeah. I wish I could have appreciated this as a bad film. I mean, it's certainly... This is like a dream that video cassette that was of a movie that went direct to video cassette in 1985 had once, then woke up going, oh, at least I'm not that bad.
But see, that's the thing. It's the reason it's not forgivable and the reason it can't be enjoyed on that level is because there is so much potential here. If you can, like, you kind of have to, like, scrape away the bad editing like a layer of sand, and it's like, oh, there's actually good stuff here if they would just fucking let them work and not try to add so many lines that have absolutely no bearing on anything just to give characters more things to say that are stupid.
And, you know, y'all mentioned how the RZA kept quoting himself, basically, in this. But, like, did anybody notice his accent kept switching from, like, normal to, like...
He didn't have one, and then all of a sudden he shows up and he's like, I'm going to shoot the sheriff and the deputy, and he says as Bob Marley, and then he just keeps talking like he's from Jamaica.
Forgets that he's done with that scene.
No, dude, you didn't have an accent throughout most of this film.
The weird thing is Paul Walker starts doing it, too. It's, like, contagious.
By the end of the movie, it's like, you know, it's a
this
full
reggae
on,
bum is it's gonna, a, it's really
it's a,
unfortunate.
It's a biography of Bob Marley at the end is what it is.
Yeah. Really surprisingly moving.
You know, one other thing here, and it must have been just me. There was a lot of extreme close-ups of Paul Walker. But it was something like I first time I noticed it is that dude's eyes were really big. Like, these scenes that they're very close-ups back and forth with him and someone else.
I think you're thinking of Frozen.
And I was like, no, he has huge eyes. And I was like, it looks like they CG'd his face. But no, they couldn't.
Well, what's funny to me is he's working this undercover case. At the beginning of the movie, he's working this undercover case. And when he's done with it, he takes contact lenses out that made his eye a different color. And I'm like, why would the criminals have known, like, oh, wait a minute, he's got blue eyes.
And he washes his dye out of his hair to be like, oh, they thought I had black hair, I have brown.
Why would they know what you look like either way? You're a bad undercover cop if they can recognize your face but nothing else.
You look just like that famous cop, except for the fact your eyes are different colors, so it can't be you.
It's just like, what the fuck?
Although there's a part in that scene where all the goons have to throw their guns in a shark tank, and I just want to see a movie where well-armed sharks were taking on Paul Walker. And now we never will.
This would have been one of the best movies ever made. If suddenly the sharks had pulled up out of the tank and drawn,
if it was
everybody.
Like jets versus sharks, but with actual jets and actual sharks, and I don't care if the Riz is in it at all.
How come Pixar hasn't?
That's what I want most movies to be. I'll be honest.
How come Pixar hasn't done a version of West Side Story yet with that actual jets versus
give it
actual
time.
Sharks?
And then at the end, because it's French, Finn. Finn.
All right, I'm gonna give you that one.
Thank you.
You win.
No one wins, Chris. Yeah, we're still talking about this movie.
True. We all lost.
Ugh, humanity loses.
Let's go to final thoughts before we all like commit suicide in a pack together. JC, what'd you think?
So I actually didn't know this was a remake of District B-13 until like the other day. So I sat down and watched the original, and I almost wish I didn't because this is almost too faithful a shot-for-shot remake. The only things that are different, like I said, is to flesh out the character of the cop more, and it's not really necessary. Plus, the dubbing of David Bell is really awful. And
really distracting.
Yeah, you might as well take the original movie and watch the English dub version of that. The original movie is great. I have a lot of fun with it. This one was not, because it was a little too silly and dumb. I'm going to say 4 out of 10 Wu-Tang Chambers of the 36.
So 4 out of 10 out of 36. I like it. I like where your head's at, Jason.
You just became a little less white, Jason.
Damn it, that was my little less white. Brian?
Yeah, all of you who've been complaining about the RZA's acting in movies of late, I have good news for you. We found the basement. I thought some of his performances weren't that bad in other films, and luckily in this film he swoops in and reminds us all that, no, Brian, your faith in me is completely mislaid, and I am actually a terrible actor. So thanks, RZA, for that. And yeah, like JC said, like, just watch the original. This, remaking a film like this 10 years after with this sort of, like, even more clumsy broad stroke message of, like, take back your planet, poor people, is, you know, as a poor person, I wasn't inspired by this. There was a freeze frame.
Oh, yeah.
Which is, just more than
and
I can.
A guy named Tom Berenger.
And, yeah, a character who, so for weird. No reason at all, is named Tom Berenger. You could have just said his name was Tom. We didn't have to know his full name.
They don't have him in France.
No, they don't.
They didn't import him.
In France, Tom Berenger is called a Royale with cheese, so I understand the problem.
There was definitely cheese.
Yeah, there was a lot of, it's just so poorly edited, you can't appreciate a single frame of the action stuff, and I think that was largely due to the fact that they had to, they replaced the actual martial artist with Paul Walker, and Paul Walker, God rest him, was never a martial artist. So they did what they could, and they worked around it, and the result is something that is just painful to sit through. And yeah, I think I'm going to give this 2 out of 10 vowels that aren't in RZA's name.
Will.
That leaves E, I, O, U, and Y?
No, he needs a lot more.
Y is a big part of this.
Nice.
I feel like even seeming more generous in comparison to you two, I can't say much. It's really hard not to recommend District B-13 anyway, let alone in comparison to this. I feel like at best, if you're at a Redbox and you're hard up for something to get, this is exactly what you throw on because you're indifferent to your options. And chances are they're not going to have some fern film available there for you to rent instead. I guess at best I would give it 5 out of 10 arbitrarily thrown grenades.
It literally added explosions. That's the thing everybody thinks that we do when we remake foreign films is we just add explosions. They literally added explosions to a parkour sequence.
It's the test case for that.
Why do you need an explosion in a parkour sequence?
Because you can't have car chases on the rooftop.
No. unless
you're Batman. That would have made this a better film, for the record.
That's true.
Along with jets and sharks fighting each other. But, yeah, I mean, everything, we've really said all there is to be said about this movie. If anyone should have liked, found something to like about a film that's like this, it was going to be us.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like, we like all those really bad 80s films that ended up being fun. We can have that sense of nostalgia for that stuff, or at least grab what was good out of it. We like martial arts films, and we like parkour stuff, and we like when films are a little self-indulgent and tongue-in-cheek, but this gets none of it right. I'm going to give this 2 out of 10 final nails in Paul Walker's coffin list. It really, man, you should have gone out with Hours, because that's a good movie.
Yeah.
This, no one's going to call this a good movie.
No. And if they do, throw them off a rooftop.
Quickly.